You are now tuned in to Saved and Woke. Yes, I am. What up, everybody? It's your boy MSW. That's Mr. Saved and Woke, also known as Juan Enrique Touce, coming at you live, quote unquote, the Saved and Woke podcast season 7. Y'all, we out here. I'm sorry if I yelled. I see the audio peaking. But yo, I'm excited, man. Season 7, that's just hard to grasp right now. And I say live because I am actually recording live. I'm live on Instagram. It's something I think I'm thinking about doing on a regular basis, which is going live and giving my social media followers the opportunity to tune into the episode when it's being recorded. I'm not really sure how I'm going to do that when I have my guests on, because I usually have them via Zoom, but definitely for episodes like this, when it's just your boy, all right, I think it'll be cool to, you know, allow you all who follow me on social media, especially Instagram, and absolutely Facebook, to tune in. So just depends on how things go, but I'm really, really leaning towards doing this. I like this a lot. I'm trying to find ways of using the content that I already make on social media. And I think this would be cool because you could be able, if you're watching live right now, today is Wednesday, which is the usual day that episodes come out, but I don't usually record day of like this. So if you follow me on Instagram at I am Juan Touce. That's I am JUANTUSET. Or if you follow the show at Saved and Woke on Instagram. And of course, you can look me up on Facebook as, you know, Juan Touce. I am the black one. All right. You could potentially and probably soon be able to catch episodes live. I got to look up how to big time people do it when they be interviewing people and what have you. Maybe I can find a budget-friendly version, and we'll get into stuff like that later on. But I'm enjoying this. I'm liking looking at myself on the camera while I am recording the podcast. I'm feeling it, y'all. I am feeling it. But y'all did not tune in to listen to me look at myself. So let's just go ahead and hop right into the content of today's episode, title of which is What I'm Struggling With in 2021. So I did an episode like this last season, which was almost a full year ago, called What I'm Struggling With in 2020. And I got a pretty good reception from it. People enjoyed my candor, my honesty, and transparency. I think I'll probably end up doing something like this every year. Like the first new season of the year, I'll probably have some episode like this, unless something drastic changes. Who knows? All right. But so the first thing I want to mention is actually something that I'm actually not really struggling with at all, but it's something that I do think should be addressed. So unless you've been hiding under a rock, you already know and have heard plenty of stories about just this kind of seemingly rapid explosion of anti-Asian racism and hatred. And the reason I say I'm not struggling with it is because it's clearly wrong. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like sometimes, you know, the enemy makes it pretty easy to identify evil. This is definitely one of those times. What I want to talk about, though, is just want to provide some quick tips on how you can most quickly do your part to uproot and cast out anti-Asian racism. And the first thing we got to do is start with ourselves. So it's always very difficult for me, even as a black man, all right, to be made aware of ways that I have othered people or that I have internalized racist ideas about people in other minority groups, pretty much. Okay. In my special Thanksgiving episode, not in 2020, but in 2019, we got into some of that with my girl Yuna. And you know, the Asian community is definitely not immune to that. And so one thing that we can all do, that I believe that at one point we have all been guilty of, it's a common thought that we all have, is that we need to stop assuming that Asian people are quote unquote not from here or not really American. All right. A lot of times I have, whether I asked it or not, I was thinking like, okay, somebody asks where that person is from, where this Asian person is from, and they say like Missouri. But then I'm thinking like, no. Like where are you like from? Where are you really from? And underlying that statement is an assumption that you are not really from here and that you are not really American, that you don't belong here. Which is ridiculous, because Asian Americans are, when you really think about it, it's dumb. So I can say it now, but before, like, I made the same mistake, but it's like a lot of racist stuff is stupid, but it makes, and the only reason it makes sense is because we don't actually think about it. Like, if you take time to think, like, it's not going to take me a long time to rebut this. But the reason a lot of racist ideas just run rampant is because we don't actually think. All right, I'm reading a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. It doesn't, like, not thinking doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're dumb. And that's just the way the human brain works. So the book Thinking Fast and Slow is written by Daniel Kahneman. The majority of the book talks about, well, a huge portion of the book, if not all of it, I haven't finished it just yet, is talking about system, what he calls system one and system two brains, or system one thinking and system two thinking. So the system one thinking is what helps you stay alive. It's the, from an evolutionary standpoint, the oldest part of the brain, and it controls impulses, is based off of feelings, first impressions, and uses that to make decisions. And your system two thinking is the part of the brain that we would use, the part of the brain that we would draw on to actually think about the reality of Asian Americans in our country and in our society. Whereas the system one thinking, or the system one brain, is the part of our brains that assumes that Asian people are quote unquote not from here, based solely and completely off of how they look and all of the social cues that we associate or we attribute to people who have what we believe to be Asian characteristics. Okay. So again, very quickly, it's not going to take long. It's not going to take long for me to rebut this, but just think, okay, people think that Asian people, most people think that Asian people, like if they're not young, that their parents were like first generation immigrants. Well, first off, even if that was the case, if when people are naturalized, they are American. And if someone's parents moved over here and then they had kids in the United States, that person is American. They're just as American as you or I. Where that person is from is Missouri or California or North Carolina or Montana, wherever that person was born is where they are from. Now, of course, they might have some Chinese, Korean, Thai, or Filipino heritage, but where that person is from is the United States. because they were born here. All right. And even more so, there are plenty of Asian people that have been here for over 100 years. Like in the 1900s, the U.S. Allowed a lot of Chinese manual laborers to come in to help build railroads. And those people, a lot of those families stayed. They stayed in America since the 1900s. So you're telling me since the 1900s, this person's family has been here, but they're not really American yet. And they constantly have to go through questioning like, okay, where are you from? Okay, no. Where are you from? No. Now, where are your people from? Their people, father, grandparents, maybe even great-grandparents, could have all been born in the United States. And it's so taxing when I've heard Asian American friends, classmates of mine talk about how like they always feel like this is a sort of racism that an effective racism that I don't think like even Black people know how to deal with. So we do feel out of place, but not like from a country standpoint. They're like, you know, they never ever are allowed to feel like they're at home. It's like, and then as soon as they do feel like, you know what, maybe people are starting to accept me, it's almost like somebody comes and asks another microaggressive question or makes a microaggressive assumption about them that just reminds them like, nope, you're not from here, and you're never truly going to be American. So I have made it a point to stop thinking that, to catch myself when I am thinking that, definitely not to let any racist assumption like that seep into my conversation with or about Asian American people. So that's just one tip. Because like the reason this is important, especially as believers, is because unfortunately, although the Bible tells us that we are supposed to accommodate the immigrant, and accommodate the sojourner in America, in Western culture, if someone's different, that gives us, and actually in the world, if one of the first steps to get people to be okay with treating people horribly is to like get society or majority culture to believe that that person is somehow fundamentally different from the rest of us. And they use that to justify maltreatment, to justify injustice. So I think that's a huge step that we could be doing, and definitely step up and say something whenever you find someone else othering Asian people just based off of how we look. So again, like I said, this was kind of a cheat because it's not something I'm actually struggling with. Like I can tell this is wrong. It's not difficult for me to stand up for this because it's just obviously not right. I'm just want to make sure I spoke on it since this has been popping off. And in the meantime, since the break. So another thing that I'm not really having a problem with, but I think I've shared that I was having an issue with this before, is so like using all this saved and woke knowledge to figure out like how I'm going to engage my community and the culture for Christ. Because I don't think that I don't want to just have knowledge just so I can be smart and just so I can engage in Twitter battles with people who disagree with me. I don't think that's useful. But I have, I was just reminded that me just having this podcast is me using my influence to engage the culture and to provide encouragement for others to do so as well. So I'm encouraged about that. I'm also doing what I need to do for myself, which is being discipled in an intentional discipleship relationship so that I'll be able to, one, disciple others, which is the, done correctly, the best thing that we can do to spread God's righteousness and justice in the earth. Because I plan to do what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 28, which is to go and make disciples and do and follow the example that Paul shows in his work with Timothy, to not just only to make have Timothy as his disciples, but to have Timothy make other disciples. And he told Timothy to make disciples that then make other disciples. So I personally am engaging. I'm using my platform to share what I know. I am making sure that I am in a discipleship relationship so that I can be discipled and prepared to make disciples of Christ myself. And one thing I'm really, really excited about is just a new leadership position that I've taken on in my church, which is to lead our church's new community engagement ministry, which we will be calling our Mercy Ministry. For those of you all who don't know, if you didn't catch the last episode, the finale episode of last season, I go to Vertical Church in Hillsboro, North Carolina, virtually since the pandemic. My pastor is Ryan Brooks. It was a great episode. If you haven't listened to it, you need to listen to that. A while back, he preached a sermon. He was at the end of it, he was saying that God had just convicted him on, you know, just the lack of community engagement in our church. And he was believing that within 90 days, somebody would step up, or people, he said, people plural, would step up to help to lead the church in engaging in that work. And so I immediately knew that that was for me, but I did not text him immediately. I think I waited maybe 4 weeks before texting him. I kind of assumed that, you know, other people would by then have joined or expressed their interest. So I was very surprised when I texted him and he was like, Juan, I'm so glad that, you know, the Lord has touched your heart to lead this ministry. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who said anything about leading? Because I definitely did not. But it was clear after prayer, after talking to my wife, and after just looking at the simple fact that after 4 weeks, no one else had stepped up, that like God was definitely leading me and set me up and brought me to my church for such a time as this to take on leadership of this ministry. And I can't wait to tell you more, some more specifics about it as it develops. So I think a lot of community engagement ministries that I've seen do, you know, do good things like giving food to the homeless or preaching, going to preach and, you know, sometimes give food and have special meals with people who are incarcerated, giving aid to the homeless, single mothers and what have you. And that's definitely, I am sure that our ministry, the ministry that I'll be heading up, will have that as well. But also I want to be making sure that we are working towards systemic change, because I don't want to be continually giving to the homeless or giving to people in poverty without also working and making sure that the resources of the church, that we're harnessing the love and compassion of the Holy Spirit to work towards decreasing the likelihood, decreasing the incidence of poverty in our community. So I'm really excited about that. Hopefully I'll have details. Well, no, I know I will have details as it develops. That's a fairly new development in my life. My church family just found out on Resurrection Sunday at the end of the broadcast of service. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm excited to share with you all how things go. All right. So as you all can see, I'm alternating between something I am not really struggling with, something I am struggling with something, and so forth. So now this is the final point. So this is the biggest thing, the biggest struggle that I have been facing recently and actually for quite a while now. And that is this show, specifically production. So as you all know, I record, edit, and broadcast my podcast on my own, and I enjoy doing it. It's fun, and it was all nice and dandy back in grad school when I was but a lad, and I was, you know, on campus. I had people, when I had a question about, you know, whatever Adobe program I was using, I had a question, I could just ask them, and they could more often than not give me the help that I needed pretty much immediately. And because I was having classes on campus back when that was a thing, I was also already in the location where, you know, the studio and all this really top-notch equipment was. But as I have grown up, life has grown up with me. Well, before I continue, I want to assure you all that the show must go on, and the show will go on. I am not going to stop this podcast, but I can't continue producing the podcast in the way that I've been doing it. Well, I mean, so yes, I could do it all on my own, but in addition to just keeping the podcast going, I want the podcast to grow. I want Saved and Woke to be able to provide more varied types of content. So not just a podcast, but also more engaging social media content, more engaging videos. I've been talking so long about having the podcast on YouTube. And I actually asked a friend of mine who she does the video recording, production, and editing for our church. And I just asked her, I was like, so if I wanted you to, you know, take the recordings of my podcast, my video recordings, like the Zoom interviews, and, you know, edit them, put my intro and outro at the beginning and end, and, you know, just overlay some text, like scriptures that we reference and whatnot. And if, you know, if we're talking about something in particular that has a corresponding picture or video, you know, just overlay that on the screen. You're like, how much do you think that would, like, what would that cost for, like, a podcast that on average is like an hour? And without blinking, without taking any sort of breath or beat, without stuttering at all, she said $300 per episode. So if I have 10 full episodes or a season, that would mean, and it's not including, you know, if I did something with Afterthoughts, but just for the full episodes, that'd be $3,000 just for some video. All right. And that's her not shooting anything. That's me providing all of the content that she needs to put on there, like all of the video, the photos, the scripture references, and all that stuff, $300. And then when I asked, well, what would it be if you were recording? Because it would be cool to have somebody else recording me, you know. She had $500 per episode, which your boy don't got. And I'm hopeful. I'm actively looking right now for ways to monetize the podcast and just make sure that this thing can generate the funds that it needs to grow. In order to do that, though, so in order to be able to continue with season 7 of the podcast, I am going to have to step back from production a little bit, okay? And so here's what that means, right? So that means that you will still get full episodes every other week. There will no longer be afterthoughts in between on the other weeks. So that basically means you'll still get an episode, a full episode, every other week of Saved and Woke. And, you know, definitely if something pops off, there's always a chance that I will give you all some more goodness. Because if something big pops off, I will just have to address it when it needs to be addressed. All right. And so what I mentioned earlier, so because I still want, I will not be, I used to be trying to post graphics and cutting videos of past podcast episodes. But one thing I would do is just to make things easier on me, but to still be connected with you all, to still be generating content, is like I said, I'll be going live to share my thoughts and answer questions every Monday and Friday afternoon. All right. I'm not going to establish a time because keep it hot. You know, life be different on different days. Okay. But every Monday and Friday afternoon, I will be going live on Instagram and Facebook for a short period of time, maybe like 10 to 15 minutes, to share some thoughts and answer questions. So definitely, if you're not following me on those platforms now, if you are on Instagram and if you are on Facebook, hit me up on Facebook. You can follow me at I Am Juan Toussaint, or you can follow the show at Saved and Woke. I'll make sure that I am on live on all three of those different accounts. All right. And just so you all know, I am currently, I'm researching ways to be able to grow the show as soon as possible. I'm listening to a podcast right now. Actually, I'll let you all know. So it's actually a podcast, in case there's any other podcasters out here listening, called Grow the Show. It's by a guy named Kevin Schmidlin. And the podcast is all about growing the podcast. He's got an accelerator program that I'm looking into joining, but it's still going to take me time to learn what I need to learn to be able to monetize the social, that I can pay for editors, so I can pay for content creators, and so that I can compensate guests for their time. And also to compensate myself for my time and for my energy that I put into this. I think everybody is worth the pay for the work that they do. And it's fun. I really, really love it and enjoy it, but it is definitely still work. All right. One thing that I will leave you all with is how you all can help. Okay. So one thing that would be huge, it's very, very simple. Like, so if you yourself are interested, or you're personally, you just got it like that, or if you own a business that would be interested in sponsoring, please hit me up on any of those social media platforms that I've shared thus far. Or if you know someone, or if you know a company that you think would be interested, and you have the connections to get me to direct me to those people who would have influence over sponsorship, please let me know. Please let me know. I really appreciate everything you all have done so far. I thank you all for listening to the podcast, especially those of you who've been rocking with me since season one back in 2017. We're going into year four, starting season seven, and it's just crazy. I really enjoyed this. Like I said, the podcast is not going anywhere. I'm just easing up a little bit so I can get the resources together needed to truly grow this show and give you all content that I think you all deserve. There's so much stuff that I've made videos addressing things that have never come out, just because like it just took so long to edit, and by the time it was done, it was irrelevant. I want to be on top of things. I would love, so like, although, you know, I said that afterthoughts are going to be pausing, like in a perfect world, what I would like to do is post full episodes every Wednesday. And then later that week, maybe like Friday or Saturday, post my afterthoughts on that same episode. I would like to have detailed show notes that have links, helpful links to everything that I discuss, or that a guest shares. I would like to be on top of that, but it all takes time. It all takes skills and expertise that I don't have. So that means I have to find some people who do have it, which of course requires funds to be able to do that. So like I said, if you are interested in sponsoring the podcast personally or via your business, please hit me up on DMs or messaging on social media. And like I said, if you know someone, please connect us. I would very, very, very much appreciate that. And yeah, y'all, thank you all so much. Thank you for doing what you have done. Continue to share the podcast, because that does a huge job as well. Another thing you all can do is, if you haven't already, if you're on Apple Podcasts, give me a 5-star review, or give me the 5-star rating. Leave a review if you can, just sharing how much you love the show. Oh, and if you do write a review, could you like screenshot it, you know, post it on social media and tag me in it? All right, I would definitely love to give you a shout out when you do so. So thank you in advance for your help. Thank you for the 5-star reviews. Thank you for 5-star ratings. I always mess that up. Thank you for the 5-star ratings. Thank you for the glowing reviews. Thank you for just listening and tuning in to the show like you have up to this point. I'm really excited about the future of the show, because I know what I want to do with it. Like, the vision that I had for the show before I even started was way more than what we've been doing now. I think you all really, really enjoy it. And so, like I said, thank you all for rocking with me up to this point. And I thank you for your help in the future. But until next time, y'all know what to do. Keep the faith and stay woke.